Okay, so this is Build Me Up Buttercup's AMA answers, and I haven't really looked at these actually, which now strikes me as my first mistake. And so if the responses make no sense, all right, so we're gonna dive in. If you get to dub any cartoon, animated film, or game franchise, which one would it be and why? And if so, any particular characters? If I could dub anything. Okay, so there is this old show. There's an American version now, but I'm not talking about the American version. Growing up, I'm dating myself, I know. There was this show that showed late at night on the Food Network called Iron Chef, like the original Iron Chef. And it was all not in English. I want to say that it was in Japanese, but honestly, nope. This is all based on memories from my youth. I should go back and figure that out, honestly. But Iron Chef was hilarious in that they had these chefs cook, and they cooked just ridiculously amazing looking food. And they would have these judges, and there was always like a competent judge, like a food critic judge, and then usually like a second fairly competent judge, maybe not a food critic, but someone who kind of knew what was going on. And the host of the show would always eat, but wouldn't usually talk very much about the food other than saying it was good. And then they'd have a random guest. And I fell in love with whoever did the voiceovers for the random guests. And I would love to do that voiceover voice again for Iron Chef, like for more of the episodes, because they would have different people do voiceovers sometimes. And whoever this voiceover person was, she was doing a voiceover occasionally for some of the actresses on the show. And when she would do the voiceover, they always made what I'm sure were like perfectly lovely actresses sound like absolutely ridiculous and porny. Like, it'd be, oh, how do you feel? Like, here's our consommé, try the soup. And the little actress girl would be like, oh, it makes me hot. And like, when I think about wanting to do a voiceover, like I pretty much just want to go and voice over anything, but especially old Iron Chef episodes, and do that voice for everyone, just for everyone. This is maybe not even answering the question, but when you ask what I want to do a voiceover for, it's less about the content and more about just the comedy of that, like completely inappropriate over the top voiceover. It made me love dubbed stuff sometimes. All right. So I would dub Iron Chef. If you're a shark, which one would you want to be and why? Include any sharks. So as much as I love my prehistoric sharks, I would go with a frilled shark, which is sort of cheating because they're not exactly sharks in the way that we think of sharks. Like these are sharks that don't really consume food in the way that most of your normal, carnivorous spiky teeth having sharks do. Frilled sharks live very, very deep, and they are very freaky looking. I feel like it would be amazing to live at that depth in the ocean and live under those pressures and to see what else is down there, and to like live the life of a frilled shark. So both because I love them and can never see them in person alive because of the pressures that they need to live. We don't really have the ability to keep them in tanks alive for any length of time. I'd be a frilled shark. It's frilled, like ED, not just frill. Anyways, I don't speak clearly. Dark chocolate or milk chocolate? Dark chocolate, that's not hard. What is the first ride you queue up when you're in an amusement park? I really like going on roller coasters that don't go upside down first. Like if I'm at an amusement park and we're about to do this thing, then I will go to a roller coaster that's gonna like warm me up and doesn't like go upside down but does other fun stuff. I also will always hit up like my log flumes and water slides. Like I would rather go to a water park than like a traditional amusement park. And if it's a water park, tubing. I really like long tube rides or lazy rivers. I just really like floating around in a tube. It makes me happy. Do you like during the beach during the day or at night or in between? I want to be next to or in the ocean all of the time. So I would say I like the beach all of the time. I am particularly entranced with the water and the beach at night. I really like the the boundless depths and thinking about being at the bottom of the ocean when it's like complete, where it's completely dark, and when it's like the beach at night, I kind of get that feel a little bit more. Not in like a suicidal way, more in like a Lovecraftian like appreciation and fear of the depths madness sort of way. So beach at night. Do you sing? Yes, a lot. Badly. What's your favorite type of comment to receive? Honestly, the ones where it's clear that the person actually listened and like is responding to what they heard. I am kind of picky in what I like in comments, in that I don't really like it when I'm depersonalized. Like if someone's responding to me and they choose to call me by something other than Buttercup, I don't really like that. Like I'm not your honey, sweetie, baby, sugar pie. So something that doesn't refer to my name. So I'll take B, Buttercup, all of that works. But like, yeah. So I like comments that treat me like a person and that make it clear that someone listened and enjoyed. And from there, like, so long as they're not like trying to foist upon me someone else's like sexual interests and desires, and it's just about, hey, like, you did this thing, it was enjoyable for me, that makes me so happy. I love making people happy. I love that people enjoy the really silly shit that I do. So any comment that indicates someone really listened and enjoyed, I've had a lot of favorites. I've gotten a lot of comments that have made me really happy. Which of my posts had the most unexpected response? I think I was surprised by how much people liked the dress one. It's kind of inspired me talking more about other, like, more improvisational, like, real-life fantasy stuff. I am a deeply private person. There's a lot I choose not to include in the audios, but the dress one kind of made me push a little bit more into that space of just being a little bit more myself in the recordings. And I really didn't expect the generally positive response. Now, I did expect some of the other stuff that happened with that post, which was people asking and asking and asking again, and sometimes not really understanding that no is an answer, to see said dress. That was not unexpected, unfortunately. But the overall appreciation for that one, I think, was really unexpected for me. In a good way. Yeah. If you're asked to dance, do you bust out the ballroom or just find a groove and move? I can't dance very well, but I am like classically ballroomed, Southwestern and swing dancing and Latin dancing trained to a very minor degree. Like I am not great, but I'm not terrible. So I can do those kinds of dances. So I would lean towards busting out the ballroom. Who's your favorite celebrity voice? James Spader. That voice could fuck me. I don't care what that man looks like. And I realize that at this point he is an older and not attractive man, but. How much should we fear your vengeance? I like to think I've mellowed as I've aged. You should probably fear my vengeance quite a lot based on past experiences in which I've had to visit my vengeance upon others. However, I try to look at life in a really, like, positive way whenever I can nowadays, and so my vengeance rarely has to be visited upon anyone. So fear it. Just try not to provoke it. It's pretty hard. You have to really upset me. What convinced you to begin your GWA career? So I had been listening, and on a different account, honestly, and had really been enjoying, and I kind of saw that people were joining and starting to post all the time and leaving all the time, and realized, you know, what I was enjoying was free content that people were putting out there out of the goodness of their hearts or some other, I mean, like, some people get paid and that's awesome and they totally should because they produce amazing stuff, but like a lot of people also, like, even the people who are getting paid are putting a lot out there for free and they're putting a lot of themselves into it. And I just thought, you know what, if I'm going to sit here and I'm going to like expect this from people and be excited when they post and like rely upon the goodness of others for my own enjoyment, then, you know, I need to put up or shut up. So either I need to like stop just taking advantage, or I need to give back in some way. And a lot of people give back by commenting or by letting people know how much they enjoy, and that's amazing. For me, the thing that made sense was, fuck it, why don't I try posting, because I appreciate that other people do it, and, you know, do unto others, do unto the world as you would like the world to do unto you. So I started posting to get y'all to start posting. Feel the pressure. Are you currently in a relationship, and like, are you genuinely happy with it? So there are some aspects of my personal life that I think for understandable reasons are pretty off limits for me when it comes to talking on GWA. So I'm not going to answer that question. What I will say is a personal limit for me is that when it comes to relationships and GWA, for me personally, I wouldn't be okay being with someone if they weren't fully aware of all of the stuff kind of, you know, going on my account, especially for a more serious relationship. I know that there are different people in other circumstances, but yeah. And with the, are you genuinely happy with it? I will say this as well. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm not like old, I hope, but I'm not as young as I was, as anyone could say. It is not worth being in an unhappy relationship, and having left unhappy relationships far too late and having encouraged other people to leave unhappy relationships that were very hard to leave, it's not worth it. Don't fall for the sunk cost fallacy. My answer to this question will never be, I'm in a relationship and I'm not happy with it, because if I'm not happy with a relationship, I am either going to find a way to work on it and make it better, or I'm going to leave it. What do you want to be in your life? Maybe a dream job or a dream life. So there are a few things I would change about my life currently, but I'm working towards changing those things. I have not had an easy life, and I say that subjectively. I don't think anyone feels they've had an easy life, but I haven't had an easy life. I haven't had a particularly hard life either. There have been some things that I think I would change, but barring my ability to change the past, and for the most part, with one exception, that's not something I would do anyways, I kind of feel like I'm living it a little bit. Again, there are things I wish I had in my life. There are some things that I'm working on changing, but I've come a long way. I've gone through a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty good with the life I'm living now. I mean, I'm trying to get an even better job, and I'm trying to change that kind of stuff all the time. But I'm kind of amazed and humbled and feel incredibly lucky for the fact that I'm alive and I'm relatively well and I'm not unhappy with what I'm doing with my life. Yeah. I mean, if you want like a dream, I would just like float in the ocean all day and interact with fishes. But like, really, I'm very grateful for the life that I have. Do you really like what you do here, posting audios of you doing private things? That's an interesting question to me. So I do this for free in recreational time. If I didn't like doing it, why would I do it? Like, there are things I don't like. There are messages I get sometimes, things like that, that, you know, can kind of negatively impact my day, honestly. But overall, it's a very positive experience. I feel more connected to a community that, like I said, does a lot for me. That's why I'm here. So I do, and I like that people enjoy, and I like that it's just kind of like, let's all embrace, you know, have fun, free porn. What stereotype about your country or ethnicity do you dislike the most? So I'm American. I don't know that I hate that many stereotypes about Americans, but I don't love stereotypes about us kind of like, okay, this is kind of niche. I don't like stereotypes about Americans just openly choosing to be obese and like choosing to eat nothing but fried foods and unhealthy foods all the time. To me, those are learned behaviors. They have a lot to do with the way people are raised. They have a lot to do with socioeconomic status. And they have a lot to do with what's available in the US. And so it's fair to say that that's a reasonable stereotype. But at the same time, I don't think that this idea of like the fat demanding, always fried food eating American is necessarily like fair even to the people it's directly lampooning, because I suspect that they probably want to do things differently and be healthier. And those are choices that aren't all that available to them, or don't seem all that available to them, or they weren't even necessarily raised to think that there were options, right? They were raised to eat in a certain kind of diet. So I just don't think it promotes conversation in a positive way, that stereotype. I'm a big advocate for healthy eating, by the way, in case that wasn't clear. But I recognize that there are a lot of challenges out there for that. What's the dumbest or funniest sexual encounter you've ever had? So this is years and years ago, and it's more funny because it was like real stupid, but it worked out fine. So my roommate at the time was someone who I had moved in with, knowing from college, a guy, but totally platonic friends. And we kind of had this whole sort of flirting thing going on because we both broke up with our significant others shortly after moving in together for unrelated reasons. And then one day he made a joke about tying him up, and I joked back about how I was going to do it, and he had restraints under his bed, which I did not realize, and it sort of turned into a sexual encounter a little bit, which then launched some other things. But yeah, you know, be careful who you joke around with about getting tied up, because, you know, if you tell me you want to get tied up and you showed me the restraints under your bed, shit's gonna happen. I'm just saying. I've got more stories for that now that I think about it, but no, we'll stop at one. What physical aspect of the male, or if possible, female body turns you on the most? In men, forearms with rolled up sleeves. I don't really fetishize any part of the body, and I'm totally fine if I like people who look a variety of ways. Pretty much any forearms with roll-up sleeves. I don't know what it is about forearms, but forearms and hands fucking do it for me. Man, forearms and hands. In women, I really like the curve of a woman's body. Like, just that kind of gentler curve, the way the waist turns into the hips and kind of bows out and then gracefully sort of curves back in again. Just really appealing to me. Plus, I like tits. Who doesn't like tits? Oh, and cocks. Just to be clear. What time during the day are you the horniest? I get off in the morning and I get off before I go to bed. And sometimes I get off midday. So mornings, nights, sometimes the middle of the day. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? With a partner, I would never really ask for or expect more than once a day. Though, as I said, I will get off at least twice a day. So at least 7 times, maybe 14. With a partner, that's a little bit tough. So I would say sex anywhere from 5 to 10 times a week would be good. Favorite sex position and why? Really, I need the variety. I genuinely do. So maybe for this, I would say doggy. And I'm just going to say that because I like the level of penetration with that. I have a relatively shallow cervix. I like having my cervix hit. And doggy really gets me to a very guttural, very, very intense place. It's also one of the few positions I really can't do much to myself in, so preferable to do doggy with a partner. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with the most and why? Oh, this is going to sound really bad. It's going to sound really bad. So Hannibal Lecter, I know that sounds really bad. It's because I find every iteration of Hannibal Lecter that has been like acted to be attractive in some way. It's not because I want him to eat me. It has nothing to do with the cannibalism. I just feel like he would be a really considerate lover. Don't judge me. What are your dick size preferences? Big, average, or small? So I would say average or moderately larger than average. I am not a size queen. I do not prefer gigantic cocks. I have had relationships in the past with people who are substantially smaller than average. That works. Just needs to do things other than sex. It can be frustrating with someone who is smaller than average or has erectile issues and wants to engage in penetrative sex. That can be just frustrating for everybody. I also experience, I have very strong pelvic floor muscles, and when I orgasm, I do spasm quite a lot. And so for anyone below a certain length, there's a risk that they'll get pushed out, for lack of a better word. So for that reason, average to somewhat larger than average in length, which to me I would define as like, this is perhaps saying larger than average, but I would say I would be thrilled with a partner who had a cock that was 6 inches, maybe 5.5 of that being penetrative length. Average girth. Larger than that, totally willing to try. I feel like longer than about 9 inches, and I would probably be in a bit of trouble. I do have a relatively shallow vagina and cervix, and I would like them to be able to penetrate fully. Worst date you've ever been on? And I'm going to pair this with the next question, which is best date you've ever been on. The best and worst date I've ever been on are the same date. And actually, that's not quite true. Fuck. Well, aside from worst dates that just suck because they made me cry, best and worst date together, I'm going to talk about because it was a terrible date, but it was also amazing. So I had met this guy on a dating app, and we went out to get ice cream, and we met, and it became very clear very quickly that he had some social limitations, which is totally fine, but like it became clear that he doesn't like to touch at all, and I'm a very touchy, cuddly person, and there were some other limitations there where I was just like, you know, this dude seems like a really cool person, like there's a reason we wanted to meet, but there's no chance of anything romantic there, and he felt the same way. So as far as dates go, we like had planned to like go get ice cream and go for a walk and like do other stuff, and went and got ice cream and realized real fast, not gonna happen. So here we are, and it's pretty awkward. We've realized pretty fast this is not a thing. And we're just trying to talk about stuff. And he mentions that they have a pet tortoise. And I got hyped. I fucking love me some turtles and tortoises. And they had a sulcata. And I have seen sulcatas before. My uncle owns some sulcatas, but like I don't live near them. There aren't that many where I live. So despite this being the worst date, it was also the best date because I wound up going home with him and meeting his super fat, amazing dogs that I cuddle up with and meeting his sulcata and getting to feed it and pet it and love it. And so that was just the fucking best. 10 out of 10, would do that again. I would happily go out on an awkward date with anybody and then go home and just like not do anything with them, but go home with them and pet their tortoise. What are some of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex as well as dating and relationships? And what advice do you have for men on avoiding those mistakes? I think both men and women try to represent themselves as best they can at the start of a relationship in a number of ways. And that's not necessarily particularly helpful or productive. So probably the big example for me on this, and this is from personal experience, is around libido. I have yet to be with a partner who matches my libido, but most of them at the start of a relationship will misrepresent what their new libido is normally like and will misrepresent other things, like their love of oral, for instance. I have yet to meet anyone who loves oral anywhere near as much as they say that they love oral. For reference, I've checked. That is not related to like hygiene issues. And on the sex front, I've had partners tell me that they were intentionally kind of not entirely truthful about their sex drives when we first got together. So you create this whole honeymoon period where everything's all perfect and everything, and then you change. And there's a difference between a honeymoon period changing because like the spark is gone and the honeymoon period change that happens because you're really a once a week sex kind of person or a once a month sex kind of person. And during that first few weeks or months, you are willing to go at it every day, all the time. That can really cause problems. And now everyone's deeply invested. It's also things like, you know, lying about other things like, hey, you know, the person you're on a date with says, hey, I really don't think I want kids. And you're sitting there thinking, and you know you want kids, but you say something like, oh, I don't really know. I haven't really decided either way. Just don't do that shit. Like, and men and women, don't make those mistakes. Don't misrepresent who you are, what you're about. If you know yourself, don't change for someone else because it's not going to be permanent. And then, yeah, as far as sex is concerned, listen to and pay attention to your partner and do not pressure your partner to orgasm. It's not going to end well. That's how you get people faking it. And I mean men and women, again, don't pressure your partner. Listen to them, communicate, be honest. How'd you stumble on GWA? An ex showed me GWA. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or record yourself? Okay, so there are a couple varieties of this. I won't record an audio that has a protagonist who I can't imagine being. And the reason for that is that in order to act, because I can't act, I don't act, I imagine being someone else. And that's what acting is to me. So if it's not someone I can stand to be, I won't do those audios. And that means that for the most part, there are exceptions to this, but for the most part, rape is out. It also means that things like hate-driven audios or extreme degradation or humiliation audios are out. I also will not listen to degradation, humiliation audios, or rape audios. Aside from, I mean, like, I think we all know there's a spectrum of CNC that's on the subreddit. To get a little bit weirder about it, I also won't listen to condescending audios. If someone's voice sounds condescending to me, I just want to fight them, and I am totally uninterested in them sexually. So any like condescending stuff, there's something about that tone. And then for a final listing here, and I know this is making me sound really picky, I won't listen to, and I definitely won't record age play. It's one of the few things that I find just incredibly grating whenever it occurs. I really, kind of on the condescending thing again, like I cannot imagine the appeal in pretending to be a child or to do anything with a child or a non-child, like, or someone of ambiguous age who has a youthful voice, or beast. Honestly, I won't listen to or record anything that won't get me off. I'm doing this for fun. Why would I listen to or record anything that I wasn't actively enjoying? So if I can't get off to it, I'm not recording it. If you were a stripper, what would your stripper name be? And what would be your gimmick or character? So there's a real answer to this that I can never answer. Not because I've been a stripper, but because I know what stripper name I would use. But there are people who would know. But my stripper name would definitely involve a gemstone of some kind. Like, I'm definitely gonna be like Sapphire or Diamonds or Jade, for sure. Gemstone name. And my gimmick? Well, I can't dance, right? So we've got some problems already. So my gimmick would probably be like a valley girl who's like way too good for this and just sits around and looks bored all the time. And I don't know if that's gonna make me any money as a stripper, but like, let's be honest, I do not have the skills for this job set. Do you watch stand-up comedy? If yes, who's your favorite comedian? I do. I watch a lot. I would say probably, and I know that this is a common answer, but John Mulaney, honestly, he makes me laugh a lot. And then for just like good feels, sometimes I really enjoy Gabriel Iglesias. Again, because like I like comedy that is either at everyone's expense or no one's expense, or just like silly or situational. I don't really like attack or insult comedy. So my tastes run that way. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? Depends on how much younger. My answer to this question would have been different a year ago, I think. I'd warn her about some stuff in the future and try to tell her what I thought she could do, if anything, to stop it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. What's the last movie you saw? Ooh, what is the last movie I saw? Fuck. Well, I was watching horror movies for all of the whole month of, like, October, essentially. And most recently, I think we watched, maybe not the most recent, but certainly very recently, the Halloween movies. And those are just super fun. Have you ever cried during a movie? If yes, tell us about that. If not, what movie had a massive emotional impact on you? Oh my god, I cry all the time. All the fucking time I cry. I will say a movie that had a massive emotional impact on me. A couple. So, Midsommar, the Ari Aster horror film, had a huge, huge emotional impact on me. In that it pretty much, not to use a word that gets really aggressively used all the time, but pretty much triggered me and I wound up sitting there through that movie in PTSD state. I'll also give a shout out when I was much younger to Life is Beautiful, because by the end of that movie, I barely even had to read the subtitles anymore because you just understood what was going on and I just sobbed. And I think maybe one day I'll be able to watch Life is Beautiful again, but I'm not ready yet. Just a really amazing film that taught me a lot about not just really upsetting things, but the importance of comedy and humor and what we can do for each other in times of trauma. If all the sex toys you own came to life, Toy Story style, how would they behave and what would they talk about? God, I don't know. I think about shit like this. Whoever came up with this question, I think about shit like this way too much already. Way too much already. And I feel like I'm just like scarring them for life and they talk mad shit about me and how I'm such a like, I'm always using them to get off and I don't treat them good enough and like they should have like fancy pillows and stuff. My poor pillows. Oh my god, the shit my pillows would have to say to me about me. I don't know. Hopefully if they come to life, they really enjoy sex, because if they don't, I'm giving them a terrible life. When is the last time you called someone a cunt and why? I don't know that I have outside of people for whom that is not as strong an insult. So outside of friends who are from like the other side of the world, Aussie area, I don't really love that word. We'll sometimes use it in dirty talk about myself, but I just don't love sexual and gendered insults. I'll say bitch, and I kind of feel bad about that too. So cunt is just not a huge one for me. What is your biggest pet peeve? People speaking in extremes. If someone tends to say always or never about things and speak with great confidence, that drives me up a wall. Because very rarely is always or never appropriate. There are always shades of gray, which I realize I just said always. I've contradicted myself. I hate myself. Now you know. What animal did you pretend to be as a child? Unicorn. 100% unicorn. What are your thoughts on daylight savings time? Dude, fuck daylight savings time. It's been a fucking less than a week at this point, and my biological rhythm's still all fucky. And I would really like it if daylight savings time died in a fire. Do you think that classics are still worth teaching to students in a way that is mandatory? Why or why not? Yes, there are classics I definitely would advocate continuing to teach to students, but teaching them in accessible ways, sometimes adjusting the content or teaching these students to digest the content better. Like, don't take a group of students who have never experienced Shakespeare before ever and drop them into that language if they're not very comfortable with English without first giving them some kind of introduction. Like, it's unhelpful. And you're not setting them up for success or to enjoy that classic. I don't know that all classics should be classics either, but there's a huge value. Like, there's a reason why some of our classics are classics. There's a reason why it makes a lot of sense to have, again, like, I don't want to like go back to the Holocaust over and over, but it makes sense to have students read dystopian novels or read novels like Anne Frank's Diary, or which I guess is technically a diary, but you get what I'm saying. The reasons they're classics are because they're classic. I do think, though, anytime you can connect with a student, get them to read, that is absolutely worth doing, and I will always support, like, whatever gets them reading, pretty much, provided it isn't something that is also really influencing their views in a problematic way because of the way that especially younger children process information. Which celebrity do you think has the best voice? I swear I got asked this already. I did. I said James Spader. It's still true. Fuck me up, James Spader. Would you rather be generally considered cute or sexy? Cute is my wheelhouse. Cute is where I live. Cute is what I go for day to day because it's the look I know I can pull off. But when I daydream about all kinds of crazy things and self-insert myself into adventures and all the things I could be, sexy is where I want to go. So I'm going to say sexy, even though being cute makes me feel comfortable and happy and safe. Being sexy feels like an adventure, and I like adventures. Best estimate. How many times do you think you've said the word fuck in your lifetime to date? Whoever put that fucking listens to me. Oh, I have no fucking idea. No fucking idea. A lot. I've said the word fuck a lot. I actually really only started cursing like crazy when I was like college age, probably. So maybe less fucks than you think, but more fucks than most people. After what was an epic mic saga, did you finally settle in on the perfect placement for your mic? And if so, where was that? All right, so I got a struggle going on. The mic that I'm using to record this is my Yeti, and it's in the office that I record in, which has a problem because it's echoey, but other than that, it's fine. So when I record at this mic, I get off in this chair. That's fine. It's all good. When I get off for like rambles, I like to be in bed a lot, and so I'll go set up in my bedroom, but I don't bring the Yeti in there, so I'll record on my phone. And this is where the phone placement saga comes into play. Like, the mic placement saga is really where the fuck do I put my phone to record. I still haven't truly answered this question. I've discovered a lot of places not to put the phone. If I am on my back, I'll just put the phone on my belly, but if I am sitting up and grinding on something, so far I set it on like a sturdy object to the side of me on the bed that won't move and record from there, but I still don't think that's ideal. As evidenced by the recent audio where my audio is all fucky. If one of a pair of conjoined twins commits a murder, do you send them both to jail, locking up someone who's innocent, or do you let a killer walk free? So, extremely unlikely that a pair of conjoined twins would be able to have one commit a murder with the other one not being physically involved. Like, rarely do you have a case of conjoined twins where they don't have, like, each partial autonomous control of their half of the body. Like, the whole idea of someone with two heads is, like, not likely to be. It does happen on occasion, but usually both of them have at least some level of control. So it'd be very hard for one to kill someone without the other. Very, very hard. I would say, given that, and assuming they're so conjoined that they can't be surgically separated, I probably would send them both to jail, locking up one who's innocent, because if the one who's innocent can't stop the one who's guilty, then the one who's guilty is the one in control of the body, and therefore, for the safety of others, they need to be in jail. But I also question this on a biological front. Okay, and these next six questions, I'm going to disclaimer. I did look at these briefly, and they're very spastic, so I don't know if someone was using a word shuffler or what. I will do my best to answer. If you had to spend the rest of your life on a desert island, what's your favorite Simpsons episode? I like the Treehouse of Terror ones. I like all of the Halloween episodes of The Simpsons. I don't know that I would pick one specifically from those. Maybe the Maggie episode, the Do It For Her. That's pretty good. Are the rumors true that this Halloween you're dressing up as Kelvin Davis, deputy leader of the New Zealand Labour Party, but sort of mixed with a spatula? No, I dressed up as a huntress. I had, like, cute little huntress outfit and boots and bow and arrows and stuff. I see that you posted some pictures of your exciting prototype for Mermaid Jeans, but in the background I noticed a calendar on the wall, and November 18th was circled and marked with the words Nuclear Cress Rash. If not too intrusive, what exactly do you have planned for that day? Looks like someone tried to write Nuclear Test Crash with some issues writing. So perhaps that. Though for me, November 18th, I think probably the same thing I do every day, Pinky, work. And not safe for work questions from the same person. If you were ever to make unplanned but deeply indulgent love to a woman, would you prefer her vagina to look like a well-oiled coin slot or an exit wound on a garbage bag full of fermented scorpions? Gonna go with well-oiled corn slot. Well-oiled coin slot, though corn slot is kind of funny. I thought you could steal the sexy headline from this article for your next steamy audio. That's not a question. Do you have an ex called Rooster who robbed gas stations but secretly liked to be pegged? If not, why not? I'm always going to support pegging, all right? When people are up for pegging, it's fucking aces, go that. But I don't have an ex called Rooster who robs gas stations, and it's probably because I haven't had a chance to meet Rooster yet. I'm sure he's a wonderful man. All right. Well, that was a ride. Thanks, everyone, for submitting these. I hope I did you justice by answering. If you have more questions, know that I'm always open to chatting with people in comments and messages, provided those messages are, like, respectful and not awful. Yeah. See you guys around.